Have you ever met someone that seems to kind of like see right through you, like peer right into your soul, pierce your heart and your thoughts? Or perhaps a miracle happened one time when someone was preaching and you felt like they were speaking right to you. This is what the scriptures are speaking about. Perhaps many of you have had that experience. I remember having it when I went to World Youth Day in Toronto and Pope John Paul II was preaching. It's as if he and I were alone and he was speaking directly to me. This is the kind of experience that is being described in the letter to the Hebrews about the Word of God. When it says that it is living and effective, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating between soul and spirit, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. And so the Word of God can pierce and penetrate our minds and our hearts just like that. Of course, Jesus is the Word made flesh. So Jesus is how God has come to really pierce the human heart, right? To get to the interior. He sent His only Son. And so the same experience happens when the rich young man runs up to Him and asks Him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" What must I do? It's a good instinct that this young man has, a good desire. He wants true life. He wants eternal life. And he is seeking wisdom. Wisdom which Solomon told us in the first reading is more precious than anything, than any riches that could be amassed, than any power that we could acquire. Wisdom. And so Jesus answers, begins like a good teacher with the basics, and he says, "You know the commandments." He is basically asking if he has followed them, right? If he has lived by God's law. And the young man, we presume that he is earnest, he says, "I have. I have observed all of these since my youth." But it says then, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said. Jesus gazes upon this young man and pierces his heart, knows his innermost thoughts. And he says the very thing that this young man does not want him to say, right? "You're lacking. You're lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have, give it to the poor. You will have treasures in heaven. And then come and follow me." There's this great decision point. There's this man's soul, his future, his destiny hangs in the balance when he has heard this invitation of Jesus. "Follow me." And it's crushing, right? When we pray with this scene and we put ourselves there and we see this young man downtrodden, just saddened, and he walks away, his face fell. Jesus lets him walk away. Jesus doesn't change his request, his invitation. Jesus doesn't say, "Well, wait, maybe I'll change it for you. Maybe for you, better price for you." Okay. No. Jesus lets him walk away. Now, friends, I want to read this beautiful gospel, this beautiful revelation of our human hearts in light of what our bishop is asking in our diocese, in his Go Make Disciples initiative, this call to each and every one of us to evangelization. And if you don't know what that is, if you haven't heard that, okay, please sign up for the Catholic Herald. Sign up for the diocesan Facebook page, get the daily messages from the bishop. This is something that he wants all of us to be united in, because it's the mission of the church. The bishop's vision is the pope's vision, is the church's vision, because it was Jesus' vision, that every single Catholic would truly see themselves as a missionary disciple. Okay? First, we need to become disciples, truly follow Jesus Christ. And secondly, because of that relationship with Him, we become missionaries, doing the work that He sends us to do in His name. Above all, the mission of evangelization, the mission of inviting others into true life in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, so reading our gospel in light of Go Make Disciples initiative, in light of evangelization. First, when we read this and we see this young man walk away from Jesus, having received the invitation from Jesus and walking away, does it make you sad? Do you believe truly in the depths of your heart and your mind that it would have been better for this young man to have stayed, to have done what Jesus asked and follow Him? Right? If we don't believe that, well, we're never going to be evangelists, right? We're never going to want to invite other people into relationship with Jesus if we don't truly believe that that's the best thing for every single human person. That Jesus came to bring the best out of every one of us. Jesus came to save every human person. And it is through Him that we come to that fullness of life, seeing Him, and only through Him do we see the Father. Right? So, if we have an entirely relativistic viewpoint about religion, faith, we're never going to be evangelists. Well, that's okay for him. You know, he's doing what's right for him. You know, he likes his stuff. So, let him do it, right? No, if we're not saddened by the fact that he walks away, then we don't have the heart of it, right? Only in following Christ is our hope for fulfillment in every human heart. Right? So, then we read this as well, and we realize that in each of our lives, there is this encounter with Jesus. In each of our lives, we come to Him, we ask Him something about who He is or what He desires, or what the way is that He has come to show us. And He makes an invitation. So we examine what is our response. What has it been? Right, first on that basic level, have we followed His commandments? Have we followed His law? Have we seen His teachings as of value for us to base our lives off of? And then secondly, on the deeper level, are we willing and have we responded generously to His invitation to a sacrificial kind of love? So we examine our own response to Jesus, right? This is the measure of our discipleship, right? If we're truly following Him, if we've taken Him as our Master, as our Teacher, as our Lord. And of course, right, just an initial response is not a complete response. So how do we solidify that response to Jesus and allow our lives to truly be transformed? Right? That's what Jesus is inviting this young man to. And not just a momentary action of selling all his things, but to living life with Jesus, following Him, being with Him, allowing his life to be transformed by that friendship, that relationship with Him. If we've allowed our lives to truly be transformed, we should notice the difference in our lives. Or at least those around us should notice it and be able to point it out for us. And that should make us desire to have to allow or facilitate that same encounter with Jesus for other people. Knowing the good that it has done for us, knowing the transformative power that has come into our lives, we should desire that for others and desire to facilitate their encounter with Jesus. And also resolve to help others in making their response. Right? We know it's not easy to follow Jesus. We know it's a lot easier when we have people to support us in our journey of faith, in our dedication to the Lord. And so, to be missionary disciples is to resolve to help others in that process, in their response to Jesus. All right, so we have a beautiful little example here that can help us kind of just wrap our minds around what it means to be a missionary disciple, right? That we come to encounter Jesus, we respond with a wholehearted yes to what He invites us to, we allow Him to transform our lives, and then we desire that same thing for others. It truly is sad that this young man walked away from Jesus. He walked away from the greatest source of wealth that he could ever have encountered. And it should sadden us too. So every time you approach the scriptures, every time you approach the sacraments of the church, Jesus, the Word made flesh, is peering into the depths of your being with His love. And He invites you to follow Him. He wants to respond to those questions, those desires of your heart, and to call you to the highest good. Because He believes that you are capable of living that way. In His glance, cutting you to the heart, is an invitation to follow Him. Ask yourself this question. Do you go away from prayer and Mass sad? Or do you leave with the excitement of embarking on the greatest adventure of your life? The decision is really yours. Whether we're clinging to all those other things that the world promises, and then we find all of the things of the spiritual life distasteful and they sadden us, or if we let go of all of those things that we tend to cling to and say yes to the Lord. A beautiful adventure awaits us if we do.